Turn in your Bibles now to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10.
Reading the first 9 verses. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, as we are settled now and still before the Word of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help me to speak the Word with clarity. I pray this Word will be so written upon every heart that no one will misunderstand. Let the seed of truth be planted in every heart, young, medium, and old. Father, we pray the Spirit of God will do that perfect, convicting, and converting work. Hear our prayer this day and help us. We ask in Jesus' worthy and holy name. Amen. You have gathered, I'm sure, by today's the singing of the songs that we're concentrating on this theme taken from verse 9, where Jesus spoke some words that were unmistakable. And yet when he told that parable to begin with, it was not clearly understood by those who heard it. And so he emphasized again, and he told them, "I am the door." It was back in 1963. There was a game show first aired, and it was called Let's Make a Deal. It was an opportunity for contestants to make deals with both the coordinator and, in some cases, the audience, and they could win cash or they would win prizes. One of the challenges was to decide which of the three doors they were going to choose to win the grand prize. Was it behind door number 1, door number 2, or door number 3? And if they guessed right, well, their guess won them the prize. And if they guessed wrong, They got the zonk. That was the booby prize. That was the nothing. And it was all left up to guesswork, hoping, or maybe a lucky chance to win big. You know, there are many doors in life that we must go through. Some of them we choose, and some of them are just part of what we will call the human experience. For example, we did not choose the door of birth. We did not choose the parents or the family that we were brought into. We didn't choose the shape of our noses. We may have been able to do a better job sometimes, we think, when you look in the mirror, when some noses are a bit more crooked than other ones, and you'd like to have them a bit straighter. As children, you did not choose the school you wanted to go to. In fact, you didn't even choose whether you wanted to go to school or not. You just had to go. That was part of life. Yet through life, as it kept going on, some doors just seemed to open, and we had to go through them in order to survive. But on the other hand, there were some doors that we did choose. And when you got on farther in your education, you may have had a choice whether I want to go to college or university, what stream you wanted to go down, because you want to study a certain thing. If you're going to be in engineering, you've got to do this, this, and this. If you want to be in medicine, you've got to do this, that, and that. And so you would make that choice. Then you would choose perhaps the vocation you wanted to be in, and you would choose the marriage partner that you wanted to have. Going through that door is a very important one. Perhaps where you are going to live, and then what you like to eat and what you don't like to eat, what church you want to attend or don't want to attend. Obviously, some doors are basic, but some of them are much more complex, much more serious. Then we will all come to the last door that we pass through on earth, the door of death. And when we pass over that threshold and the latch clicks behind us, there will be no passing back again. That's the finality of our time and our journey on earth. You know, people come to the doors of life with at times great expectation. I can still remember going into the door of the driver examination and coming out of that door with a piece of paper in my hand, which I was very, very happy about, my driver's license. And then I got a speeding ticket on the way home from my driver's examination ticket. And there have been a few more after that as well, by the way. For many in search of happiness and satisfaction, for fulfillment and purpose in life, many doors are tried, but too often they end up in disappointment. They end up in heartache and sorrow. The dream that people had fizzles out quickly because the anticipation of what was behind that opportunity, when you got to it, it did not materialize. It didn't produce the happiness that we thought it was going to. My friend, when you've tried every door in search of peace and of purpose in life, and all else have disappointed, let me tell you today that there is one that God reveals to us, and He has shown us in His Word, and yet it is despised by the world. But it has a wondrous attraction to me and to every single believer that has gone through that door, the door of Christ. For He satisfies completely. And there is no disappointment in the Lord. I have never met anyone who has become a genuine Christian who has gone through that door of receiving Christ and forgiveness of sins, who has come back and said, "I am sorry the day I got saved." I've never met such a person. Now we read in the book of Hosea, chapter 2, and in verse 15, it says these words, I will give her vineyards from thence, and note this, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of Achor for a door of hope. Now, what does that mean? A verse of Scripture just dropped into the middle of one of these sometimes obscure prophets of the Old Testament. And you might scratch your head and wonder, what relevance does that have to what we're talking about today? In order to find this relevance, you have to understand a little bit of the background, a strange place, you might say, for such a verse of Scripture. What does Achor mean? Achor, it means trouble. It was the place where Achan was judged for his sin. You see, Achan was a man who lived in the days of Joshua as the people had just entered the land of Canaan and they had defeated Jericho. If you know the story well, you will realize that God gave specific commands about how they were going to approach Jericho, how they were going to go around the city. And when the walls fell down and they were going in to conquer that stronghold, the Lord made it very clear that nothing in Jericho is to be taken to yourself, but everything is accursed to God, judged by God, destroyed completely. Nothing was to come out of Jericho. And yet Achan saw some things that attracted his attention. Achan saw some gold, some silver, and some clothing. And when Achan was attracted by the glitter of these things, he thought to himself, they would be very nice as a possession in my tent. And he looked at the glittering gold, he looked at the amount of silver, and he looked at this Babylonian garment. Isn't that rather strange? Found in Jericho was a garment from Babylon. And Babylon, that city that goes back to the days of Genesis, that was known as the place of a people unifying movement, but a God defying movement, a place where God scattered all the languages because they were building a city and a temple to God. And this Babylonian garment attracted, it was like a magnet that drew Achan into that. And he said, I want to have this. And so he brought them home to his tent and he buried them. Now, the very fact he buried them was evidence that he knew he should not have them. They were contraband. And it was, though, his greed and his lust that drove him. Oh, my friend, let me ask you a question today. How many people are driven by their attraction to riches and to the fashion of life? How many times are the great Hollywood images, they're set forward as the great pinnacle of success, and the great sports figures that are making so much money you can't even comprehend it or count it virtually, and they're making all this, and the youth of the world and many adults, my, they gravitate toward this. This must be success. If there's ever going to be a door of opportunity for me, well, that's where I'm going. I want that. And I want a whole bunch of this. Because that's going to satisfy me in life. As a result of what Achan did, and no one else in Israel knew what he had done. I don't know how he did this, but he was obviously very sneaky about it. And he got it on whether his wife knew or his children knew, we don't know. But as Israel then moved for the next conquest, which was the small city of Ai, this will be like a piece of cake. This is nothing. And so Joshua, he sent up not all the army, but sent up some of the army. Yeah, just take these guys and move on to the next one. Well, of course, the people of Ai came out and chased Israel, and they were defeated immediately before their enemies. And Joshua, not knowing what had happened, he fell down before the Lord, and he was moaning and complaining, what are we going to do now? Our enemies are going to destroy us. It's all over. We're finished. We're all washed up. And the Lord said to Joshua, one of the few times in the Bible he says to people, stop praying. Get up off your knees. What are you doing on your face before me, moaning and complaining like this? There is sin in the camp. And until you deal with this problem, you're not going another step forward. And so Achan was called and found out. And I want you to understand this, because sometimes you think that, well, this is a very serious judgment. But God judged the awful sin that Achan had done, because he had commanded the people clearly, everything in Jericho was accursed unto God. And yet he took that which he shouldn't have taken, hid it. He was found out, and judgment fell very firmly against Achan and all of his family, and they were stoned to death. Do you know where they were stoned to death? In the valley of Achor. And it remained and received that name of trouble because Achan was a troubler of Israel. In this valley, this place of divine judgment, God has made a door of hope. Here was the place of divine judgment that fell upon sin. And in the place, my friend, of God's divine judgment, a place that looks like trouble and disaster, a place of Calvary, a place of the cross, a place where God judged sin. It was in that very place that the Lord opened up a door of hope for you and me today. And I want you to notice from John chapter 10 and verse 9, that Jesus said, I am the door. Because Christ Jesus is the only door of hope for sinful men. My friend, there is no other door that you will find God's salvation and His forgiveness but that door that is Jesus Christ. No religion, no amount of your good works, no number of good deeds that a person does, self-righteousness will not match up. People think they can find God or some meaning of life by searching deeper into science or of accumulating knowledge. The more knowledge they have, they sort of think that I'll be able to investigate God and find out who He is or what it is, and then I'll be able to gain salvation. Jesus said that He was the entrance to heaven. Not only did He say He was the entrance, He said He is the only entrance. That's very exclusive. And people would say, do you mean to tell me that you Christians have the only answer to heaven? That all the other religions of the world, the thousands of them, and you're the only one that's got it right? That is exactly what Jesus Christ has said. He said, I am the door, singular. And He went on to say in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way, friend. not by anyone else or not by anything else, but how many have tried other doors. Now let me see now, is it door number one? Is it door number two or door number three? Let me just take a stab at this. And I hope that when I get to the end of time and the end of that it's just going to be the right door for me. Oh, it might not be the right door for you, but I'm going to choose this door for me. And that is how people, that's how the ungodly go through this world, because their eyes are blinded. And what do? Well, they try the avenue and the road of riches and pleasure. And they try to satisfy themselves with fame. What does the drug addict say? He said, well, my next fix, that'll be what I will need to satisfy the craving for survival and release. Well, the alcoholic says, all I need is just the next buzz of inebriation to release me from the problems of life. And what about the porn addict? They say, well, just one more viewing of that sinful image, that lustful image, that will satisfy my cravings. But you see, friend, going through these doors, it's like opening up the way into carnage and hopelessness. It's like being in a very tall apartment building. And you go to open the door, and you think it's going to be an opening the door to the hallway, but it opens the door into a nothingness, and you step out into disaster because there's no hallway beyond that. No, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. And when Peter, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, declared that truth in the New Testament, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through Him. Just think of the doors that man has tried instead of turning to Jesus. So many fill their lives with wishful thinking. Will my dream be fulfilled? Will I win one day? Will I find satisfaction? And very sadly, my friend, many have gone down that road and opened those doors only to find great unhappiness. But I can say to you today, that as Jesus Christ declared Himself to be the door, that He is the only door, and there is no disappointment in Him. The hymn writer said, my hope is in the Lord, who gave Himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but all the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled, and they mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Have you come to Christ today, my friend? Do you know Him? Right where you are seated now, right where you are at home listening online, the message of hope and of salvation is for you. And as you call upon Christ where you are, repenting of your sin, you can know that He belongs to you and that you belong to Him. You can know the peace of God that passes all understanding. But look back at verse number 9 of John 10. Jesus said, I am the door, by Me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. and shall go in and out and find pasture. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Here is the great opportunity. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. My, this is an open door. The door of the gospel and the door of grace is still open today. You are not too late. The devil would whisper in your ear, you've gone too far. You have rejected too many times. You have delayed and put off too many times, and there's no hope for you now. The door is closed over. But don't listen to the lie of the devil, because today we are still in the day of gospel grace. Many can testify of that. When you thought there was no hope for you, when you thought maybe that you were too much of a sinner, that you had gone too far away, but no, friend, you found that coming to Christ in simple faith, you were able to lay hold upon Him, and you received Him joyfully, and He welcomed you into His family. And you know, the great hope for us is that today is the day of salvation. Today is still the day of hope. Still today, you have the gospel that you can receive as your own. And receiving Christ, you will know Him and be known of Him, because today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. My, how that situation for Jeff and Tammy could have been a whole lot worse in a moment. We could have been talking and advertising about two funerals today, and not just someone who had gone to the hospital and they've been spared major injury. But friend, you and I, as we're walking through this life of uncertainty and not knowing, are you prepared and ready to meet God? You know, when Noah built the ark, the door that was placed on those hinges was open. And it was open for the length of time, all during the framing structure and all the building procedure. And that door remained open. And I was sharing with the youth class this morning, do you know how long Noah preached for? 120 years. 120 years he preached with no converts that we know of. At least no one that was prepared to say, I will go with you into the ark. But that door was still open. But it wasn't until, my friend, it came to the day when God told Noah and his family to come in to the ark where God was, and He shut that door and sealed it. And that door would not and could not be opened again by any human power. And everyone on the outside, when that rain began and the great fountains of the deep were broken up and the water flooded the entire globe, and every living thing on earth died. But the door was closed then. My friend, the door is not closed yet for you, and the opportunity is still here. And I want to tell you, not only is there a great opportunity, but the door is very, very wide. Because Jesus said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I think there is certainly a personal application here to anyone. When the Lord Jesus made such a statement, He made it so that the whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can place your name in beside where it says any man, any person. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. That's not the criteria. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. That's not the criteria. It doesn't matter whether you call yourself religious or unreligious. No, good living or bad living. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel message of hope. And it's a very wide door. But I wonder, friend, today, what is it that holds you back? What is it that keeps you away from entering in through the door of Christ in salvation? Is it maybe a friend? Is it maybe wondering what a family member is going to think about you? Is it maybe wondering about family rejection? Those matters are what the devil would bring up before your mind to keep you away. Some people have said, well, what will my friends think? They'll laugh at me. And as more than one preacher has said many times, never mind about your friends laughing at you. They will laugh at you, and they will keep you out of hell, or out of heaven, rather, but they will never keep you out of hell. No, friend, don't worry about those things that would seemingly be an obstacle or hold us back. The door of gospel grace is wide and open. And Christ Jesus has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we have come to Jesus, John 6, verse 37 tells us, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's an open and a very wide door. And then you will also notice here in these words that Jesus spoke, there is a great reward, because they shall go in and out and find pasture. What did Jesus mean when he said that? Well, the Lord promises that when we step through the door by faith, in repentance and belief in Christ, that he died for us on the cross, and that God has raised him from the dead, we have received the gift of eternal life. Yes, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But in Christ, God's judgment, it fell upon him. And so that you and I can be set free. And we are set free in Christ, and the hope of eternal life belongs to us. And that's our great reward. And though our bodies will soon decay and return to the grave and the dust, our spirits will depart to be with God, which is far better. Eternal life. Friend, have you thought about it? Have you contemplated that truth? Eternal life. We will never perish being with Jesus Christ. We will have him for time, and we will have him in eternity. And yes, heaven is our home and our great hope. But you know, we possess this blessing here and now. To know Jesus Christ is to know peace in our heart. And our purpose for life, our strength to face the trials of life day by day, it's his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we are possessed by Jesus Christ and we possess him, we will go in and out and find pasture. In other words, we will progress. We will go on with God. We will survive. We will prosper in spirit. We will interact with the world. And our faith will be strengthened by the Spirit of God that abides within us. And yes, in all of our interaction with the outside world. They were cruel to the Savior. And don't be surprised, friends, if the world is cruel to us as well. But Jesus said, you will go in and out, and you will find pasture. You will find provision. You will find blessing. It speaks to us of the confidence that there is within the heart of the child of God, the certainty to realize that, yes, though there may be times of persecution and trial, yet in Christ and following him, he will be with us, and he will help us. And remember what the apostles did after they had suffered persecution. They went back to their friends, and they shared with them, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy of suffering for the Savior's sake. Oh, friend, do not be weary in well-doing. Do not be run down and tired spiritually. Do not think it's time to give up and throw in the towel. No, for the Lord abides within. And the Spirit of God has promised to strengthen us. And remember these words that God said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." He will bless your going out and your coming in, and you will be prosperous, spiritually prosperous, as a believer and a Christian. And that's what we want. That's what we want for our fellowship. That's what we want for our church. That's what we want to know, that we are serving the Lord, that we are trying to be faithful to Him. Let us therefore keep our focus. There is a word of warning, though, to every unbeliever. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said, "I am He that shutteth, and no man openeth." Just like the ark. God shut the door and no man would open it. And the door of gospel grace will one day be shut by God Himself. And no man knows the day or the hour of our death. And therefore enter in, my friend, while you have life, while you have hope, and find the peace of God that passes all human understanding. Christ Jesus is and always has been and ever will be the door of hope for us to receive life, to receive everlasting life. Friend, what is it that holds you back today from Him? Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, search out every heart today, I pray. Speak on with a power that is able to awaken the dead. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn in closing this morning, number 303. If you're using our book, "Out of Christ Without a Savior, Oh, Can It Be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea." We're going to ask the instruments to play through, please, once, so we can catch the tune of this one. Let's stand, please. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Father, we pray that today the word would be written on every heart. Help us to rejoice, Lord, if we are in Christ, to know that we are secure and safe. And we know that our salvation is not for time, but for eternity. Lord, continue to strive in the hearts of any who are still unsaved. Speak on, Lord, with that voice that is powerful and able to awaken the dead. Hear our prayer this day. Part us now in thy fear, with thy blessing. In Jesus' worthy name, amen. Thank you.